Welcome to Beverage Chronicles, the show where every drink has a story. From craft beer and fine wine to spirits, coffee, and all the latest beverage trends, we are bringing you the news, history reviews, and conversations that keep the beverage world flowing. I'm your host, Gary Monteroso. Thanks for joining us. Let's raise a glass and get started. A little later on, we're going to be joined by Rachel Benkowski and Michelle Lamb. But for now, I want to talk a little bit about single malt versus blended scotch and what's the real difference. Have you ever stood in front of a wall of scotch bottles trying to decide between a single malt and a blended scotch? Or maybe you're at a bar, the bartender's waiting for your order, and you're wondering if one is actually better than the other. A lot of people assume single malt means it's made from one barrel, while blended scotch is just a bunch of leftover whiskeys thrown together. Well, I must admit I used to think exactly the same thing, but the truth is, neither of those assumptions is correct. So today, let's clear up one of the biggest misconceptions in the whiskey world. First, let's talk about single malt. The word single doesn't mean a single barrel or even a single batch. It simply means the whiskey comes from one distillery. That's it. In fact, almost every single malt you buy is actually a blend. But it's a blend of whiskeys from different barrels within that same distillery. Master blenders combine casks of different ages and flavor profiles to create the consistent taste that distillery is known for. The malt part is just as important. Single malt scotch is made from some basic ingredients: malted barley, water, and yeast. The barley is soaked, allowed to germinate, and then dried. That process converts starches into sugars that eventually become alcohol during fermentation. Now, by law, single malt scotch must be distilled in copper pot stills at a single Scottish distillery, aged in oak casks in Scotland for at least 3 years, and bottled there as well. What makes single malt so fascinating is how much their location influences flavor. A Speyside whiskey may offer notes of apples, honey, and vanilla, while an Islay scotch can deliver bold smoke, sea salt, and peat. Every distillery develops its own personality. Now let's move on to something that often confuses whiskey drinkers, and that's pure malt and blended malt. Years ago, you might have seen bottles labeled pure malt or vatted malt. Today, at least in Scotland, those terms have been replaced with blended malt. A blended malt is still made from 100% malted barley. The difference is that the whiskey comes from multiple distilleries instead of just one. Think of it as taking exceptional single malts from different producers and combining them into one carefully balanced whiskey. Brands like Monkey Shoulder and Johnny Walker Green Label are great examples of blended malts. So if you're keeping score, here's the easy way to remember it. Single malt, one distillery. Blended malt, multiple distilleries. Still 100% malt whiskey. But now we come to blended scotch, which is the category most people recognize. Blended scotch combines malt whiskey with grain whiskey. Grain whiskey is typically made using corn, wheat, or other grains and is distilled in continuous column stills rather than traditional pot stills. The result is generally lighter, softer, and more neutral in flavor. When master blenders combine flavorful malt whiskey with lighter grain whiskey, they create a scotch that's approachable, smooth, and remarkably consistent from bottle to bottle. And here's something that surprises many people. Blended scotch represents roughly 90% of all scotch whiskey sold worldwide. That is hardly a sign of an inferior product. Some of the biggest names in scotch, and think of Johnny Walker, Chivas Regal and Dewars built their reputations on blended whiskey. Even Johnnie Walker Black is widely respected by experienced whiskey enthusiasts. So, is single malt actually better? Well, not necessarily. Single malts tend to showcase the unique character of one distillery. If you enjoy exploring regional styles and distinctive flavors, they're incredibly rewarding. Blended scotches, on the other hand, are all about balance, consistency, and versatility. They work beautifully neat on the rocks or in cocktails, and creating a great blend is every bit as much an art as producing a great single malt. A master blender isn't simply mixing whiskeys together. They're crafting a flavor profile that has to taste the same year after year, despite the fact that every barrel matures a little differently. That's an impressive skill. So the next time you're standing in front of a whiskey shelf or staring at a cocktail menu, don't get hung up on the label. Choose the whiskey that matches your taste, not someone else's opinion. Whether it's a single malt, a blended malt, or a blended scotch, there are outstanding examples of every style. Stay curious, keep an open mind, and most importantly, enjoy what's in your glass.
What is up, everybody? Rachel here, aka Brews with Beerkowski, and I am here to talk to you today about some beer history. I'm a certified Cicerone and I am a historian, and today we're going to be talking about the birth of the Pilsner, which is a beer that changed the world. So, let's get nerdy. In 1842, in the city of Pilsen, a beer was brewed that would go on to change the entire trajectory of global brewing. Before this moment, most beer didn't look like what we expect today. It was often dark, cloudy, and inconsistent. Brewing science wasn't truly understood, yeast hadn't even been identified yet, and so off flavors were common, and quality would vary wildly from batch to batch. The citizens of Pilsen had enough. Legends say that they publicly dumped barrels of spoiled beer in protest. In response, they decided to start fresh and brought a Bavarian brewer named Joseph Grohl to create something for them. What he made was revolutionary. He combined pale malt, which had only recently become possible thanks to advancement in kilning technology, with the region's incredibly soft water, locally grown saaz hops, and cold fermentation techniques that he learned in Bavaria. The result was a beer that was clear, golden yellow, crisp, and brilliantly aromatic. This wasn't just a new beer, it was a completely new visual identity for beer. For the first time, people could see through their glass and admire the beer's clarity and color. And thanks to improvements in glass making, beer was now being served in clear vessels, allowing that golden color to shine. This beer became known as the Pilsner, and its popularity spread rapidly. By the late 1800s, breweries across Europe were trying to replicate it. Refrigeration technology allowed lagers to be brewed year-round. Industrialization enabled mass production, and railroads and global trade carried this new beer style across continents. Eventually, Pilsner and its descendants became the dominant beer style worldwide. Today, the vast majority of beer consumed globally traces its lineage back to that first batch in 1842. But here's the fascinating part. What we often drink today as a Pilsner is often a simplified version of the original. Traditional Czech Pilsners still carry a depth of malt, soft bitterness, and a rounded body that many modern lagers don't fully replicate. So the next time you hold a golden lager up to the light, remember, you're not just drinking a beer. You're drinking a revolution in a glass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beverage Chronicles, your source for the stories shaping the global beverage industry. I'm Michelle Lamb, co-host of Beverage Chronicles. In each episode, we take you behind the labels to meet the people, brands, and innovators shaping today's beverage world. from fine wines, craft beer, and premium spirits to coffee, tea, non-alcoholic beverages, and emerging drink categories. Today, we're exploring an important topic: why public relations matters for storytelling in the AI era. Let's get started. Public relations builds meaningful relationships. The hospitality and beverage industries have always been relationship driven. Relationships with customers, relationship with media, relationship with distributors, retailers, innovators, and communities. Technology can enhance communication, but meaningful relationships are built through authenticity, consistency, and trust. Public relations helps create those long-lasting connections. The key takeaway: strong relationships create strong brands. Thank you for joining us on Beverage Chronicles. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share. I'm Michelle Lam, co-host of Beverage Chronicles. Until next time, remember, every beverage has a story, and every story has the power to inform, inspire, and connect. Cheers, and thanks for listening.
I want to close out the show by talking about one of the most iconic whiskey cocktails of all time, and that would be the Old Fashioned. See, this is a simple drink. It's elegant. And nearly 200 years after it first appeared, it's still one of the most popular cocktails you'll find at bars around the world. The recipe couldn't be much easier. Whiskey, sugar, bitters, ice, and a twist of orange peel. That's it. No fancy syrups, no exotic liqueurs, and no long list of ingredients. Yet somehow, those few elements come together to create one of the greatest cocktails ever made. Interestingly, the Old Fashioned wasn't always called an Old Fashioned. Back in the 1800s, a cocktail simply meant a spirit mixed with sugar, bitters, and water. As bartenders became more creative and started adding all kinds of ingredients to their drinks, some customers wanted things made the original way. They'd ask for their cocktail in the Old Fashioned style. And eventually that became the drink's official name. One thing many people don't realize is that the original Old Fashioned wasn't limited to whiskey. You could order one made with gin, brandy, or other spirits. But today, if you order an Old Fashioned almost anywhere in America, you're almost certainly going to get bourbon or rye whiskey. And that's where things get interesting, because there are only a handful of ingredients, the whiskey becomes the star of the show. Change the bourbon, and you've created an entirely different cocktail. Some bourbons bring notes of caramel, vanilla, and baking spices. Others lean towards citrus, black pepper, or oak. A higher proof bourbon often works especially well because it holds the character even after the bitters, sugar, and melting ice begin to soften the drink. During Prohibition, bartenders often added fruit to help cover up the harsh taste of poorly made spirits. That's where some of the muddled cherries and orange slices found in older recipes came from. Today, however, most cocktail enthusiasts prefer a simpler approach. A quality whiskey, aromatic bitters, a touch of sweetness, and a strip of fresh orange peel expressed over the glass. That's really the beauty of the Old Fashioned. It doesn't try to hide the whiskey. It celebrates it. So if you've ever experimented with different bourbons or rye whiskeys in an Old Fashioned, give it a try. You may discover that changing just one ingredient completely transforms the drink. And the next time you're standing in front of that crowded bourbon shelf, remember this: the best Old Fashioned isn't necessarily made with the most expensive bottle. It's made with whiskey that tastes best to you. That is going to wrap up this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Thanks to our regulars, Rachel Benkowski and my co-host Michelle Lam, for joining us this week. Be sure to follow us on social media. You can find regular postings on Facebook, Instagram, and also LinkedIn. And you can also check out our webpage at beveragechronicles.com. So again, I'm Gary Monteroso. Thank you for being with us, and we'll be back right here next week. Take care, everyone.